I'm going to put the slide, the title up. I'm dedicated to Christ. I want to preach to you on that topic this morning. And as I was preparing this sermon, I was kind of reading to some stories. And you may have heard of this story, but there was a man. And we know that man and a dog is a friendship as old as time. There's nothing quite matches the infinite loyalty, unbreakable bond, and a dedication a dog has for a man. You know, there's a joke that says, find out who loves you more, your wife or your dog. Put them both in the trunk, and then open it up an hour later and see which one's happy to see you. You know, and it'll be the dog. I mean, you can treat a dog like a dog, and it'll still love you. It has a dedication like no other. Throughout the years, there have been hundreds of incredible stories documenting the amazing love a dog has for a man. And none of these stories really quite surpass the tale of, I think I had it in my head right, but Hachiko. Now, it'll be the only time I say that name, and that's a name of a dog, which is Akita. In case you know anything about dog breed, it's Akita dog breed, and it's a dog that lived in Japan, and by far one of the greatest stories. They actually made a movie about it, and then another name they actually call him by as well, that tells the story of a dog that remained dedicated to his owner. The story begins with this dog being born on a farm in 1923. And was adopted later by a man who was a professor of agriculture at the University of Tokyo. Soon after getting the dog, they had a routine. The professor would get up, they would go to the train station, and there the man would get on the train, and for the rest of the day, the dog would wait around the marketplace there and wait for his owner to come back home. This happened for many years, day in and day out, and many of the local shopkeepers and station workers would keep an eye on the dog. This routine continued for several years, until one day tragedy struck. One day the professor, he got on the train, but he never got off the train. While at work, he suffered a brain hemorrhage and died. Of course, a dog could not understand what happened. So every day, like clockwork, the dog waited for his owner to return. He never gave up hope. And in the story goes, if you watch the movie, I think I've seen the movie parts of it, he waited for more than 9 years. For 9 years, this dog would wait at the train station for his owner. Now that is what I call dedication. He was dedicated to his owner. As a Christian, we are to be dedicated to Christ. I wrote this down. If a dog that can't understand the way we can understand can be loyal to a man whom, I mean, and I know everybody will get upset when I say this, dog people or animal people, basically fit, all he really did was feed him every day. Now, really all you do with animals, you pet them and you feed them. He was loyal. He was dedicated. How much more should we be dedicated to Christ, having a far greater understanding than a dog, and for Christ who did something way greater than any of us could do for a dog? Christ died for us. were able to comprehend that, how much more should we be dedicated to Jesus? Well, I think we should. Now, let me give you a little background. You may be wondering, why are you not in Ephesians this morning? I'm going to tell you why, Miss Janet. Because I built this sermon last week. My personality will not let me just hope that my uncle is going to show up. I worry that my uncle might get sick. So before he came, I was ready to preach last week just in case he couldn't show up. And last week, we dedicated our child Willow to the Lord. And what I was going to do, in case something happened, was go with this theme, you should be dedicated to Christ. Willow's not the only one that should be dedicated to Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, and the sad reality though, is that a lot of us, we are dedicated, but I'm afraid we're not dedicated to God. The thing is, there's a lot of things that steal our time, affection, and energy. For example, work. There's come the point to where too much work is an unhealthy thing. Now, many of a man probably who had lost their children spiritually in the name of I've got to work. Hobbies. They steal a lot of our time and affection and energy. Sports. Many of us are dedicated to work. We're dedicated to hobby. We're dedicated to sports. Dedicated to certain people. One of the things is, and I forgot somebody put this up, another pastor, I can't remember what he said, but the American dream. Many of us are dedicated to a certain dream and a certain spot in our life that we want to be, and we're dedicated to doing whatever it is to get that. Now, in of itself, there's nothing wrong with some of these things, except when you become more dedicated to that than God. We need to be dedicated to God. But how do we do that? Now, this is a topical sermon. This is just some verses that I was thinking in my head. I come up with three things. It's not an exhaustive list. You might add something else to it. But there's three things that I think that today, if you want to be dedicated to Christ, that you need to do and I need to do. Number one, is you need to accept the reality about yourself. Okay? If you're a Christian, or if you're here and you're not saved, it really doesn't matter. The reality about you is not flattering. Number one, to start with, letter A here, you are born in iniquity. Psalm 51:5, this will be very topical. I've got them written down, and you can flip if you want to, but Psalm 51:5 says, Behold, David said, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. In other words, David is saying this, I've been evil from the day I was born, and from the time I was conceived, I am sinful. You need to understand that. Each and every one of us was born in iniquity. I'm getting some words, so stay with me, and we love this one, Romans 3:10. And it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh, none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is open to skeptics. With their tongue, they have used to see the poison and under their lips. That's talking about you. That's talking about you. That's not talking about us. That's talking about you. Right now, when I read them verses, you need to apply that to you. Ain't even talking about us today. Even if you were saved, 1 John 1, 8-9, the content is written to believers. And it said, if we say we have no sin, we talk about believers, because that's including John there. John says, we, deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's the thing. You have been saved from the power and penalty of sin. We talked about that in Galatians, okay? But you remember, and I've said it too many times, and probably get through your nerves, we've been saved, but we've not been, but our sin nature has not been fully eradicated until we get to heaven. That's the word that we used, and I wish I could find one that was that. I think it's Galatians 5, I think. But we talked about that, how that even now, you're going to struggle with sin to some degree. So no matter how godly you view yourself, you're not better than anyone. I'm going to say that again. No matter how godly you view yourself, you're not better than anyone. Even the worst sinner there is. And I'll be honest with you, in a culture we live in, and we live in a culture that, you know, we say, well, yeah, I get that, Brother Will. I'm not better than this sinner. But there's certain sins that people commit that we think we're better than. You're no better. You're no more deserving of heaven than anyone else. You say, what happened to being dedicated? To be dedicated to God, you're going to have to stand and realize that, as I say, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. See, I'm afraid, and I've said, I guess, I don't know, I think God has led me this direction, and I've said it for the last 4 or 5 weeks, kind of indirectly, and I've said it directly. And a lot of us, if we're not careful, we're like that Pharisee or that publican who said, thank God I'm not like these people. And then the sinner said what? He hit his chest and said, Lord, forgive me. I am a sinner. You're never going to be dedicated to Christ as long as you think you're better than someone else. As long as you're thankful that you're not like them other sinners. The average believer isn't dedicated to the Lord. And the average believer, here it is, ready, I highlighted it this morning because I didn't want to skip it, has an overrated opinion of themselves. The average Christian, almost every church member, if we're not careful, has an overrated opinion of ourselves. I think for the moment we would agree Paul was a dedicated Christian. Wouldn't we say that? Listen to what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. Not as though I am already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if I may apprehend, which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm telling you something, the American church is full of Christians, and Christians I don't think are Christians, who have this attitude that I've already obtained. I'm already perfect. I know I don't need anybody to tell me anything. And everyone else just not quite as good as I am. That wasn't Paul's attitude. Paul said, but there's one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, when that could be good things or bad things. And reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The problem in the most churches, not just here, is that this is what we do. I'm pretty good. I think I'm going to sit down and take a vacation on my spiritual journey. I've reached a certain level of maturity. I've reached a certain level of growth, and I'm just going to take a time out. That's not what Paul said. Paul basically said, I'm still nothing. I'm not apprehended. I'm not arrived yet. He said, what I'm going to do, and I'm going to keep reaching forward. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, Paul said, of whom I am chief. See, I don't think that's the thing, and I'm not even going to name out any certain sin or lifestyle today. I don't want to go there today. But I can name certain sinful lifestyles, And if we're not careful, and if we're honest, we don't think we're as bad as they are. Do we? I'll just say it. The average... I think... And I'm here too. We think we're better than homosexuals. We think we're not as sinful as them. But you're not. Are they wrong? Yes. Is homosexuality wrong? Yes. I'll say that right here. Do they need salvation? Yes. But so did you. And you're no more deserving of heaven than they are. But if we're not careful, and I listen to people talk, the attitude that we have, I'm going to note somewhere else, but I'm going to say it now, and we have the attitude of certain sin, woe is them. Woe. But the problem, I don't really hear any one of us saying this, woe is me. We've forgotten. See, Paul didn't forget that. Paul said, I'm the chief. The problem is, we would say, I'm a sinner. If we were writing, if we're just honest, we would say, I'm a sinner, God. On to Timothy, he's writing to Timothy, Timothy, I'm a sinner, but these people are chief sinners. And I'm not telling you a soft stand on sin. All them things are sin. I'm talking about the attitude that we have, is that to be honest, we have the attitude that, well, I'm better than so-and-so. I'm a sinner, but I'm not a chief sinner. And here's the thing, you'll never be dedicated to Christ until you understand that you are the chief sinner. I don't care how much you've grown. I don't care how much sin you've gotten out of your life. I don't care how good you are. You are, you have the mindset, the reality is that I'm a chief of sinners. That I was born in iniquity. We don't say, oh, I'll skip that one. Well, no, I won't. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 says, Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The word vessel there, the earthen clay pot. Paul didn't, see, let's be honest, if we were writing this, we would say, we have the gospel, and we're talking about ourselves, in a golden vessel. I'm just God's gift to the gospel. Now, Paul said, we have the gospel in clay pot. You know what a clay pot is? It cracks easy. If you know, it's discarded. If it's something, if you drop a clay pot and it cracks, you throw it away. If you drop a golden pot, you don't fix it. Paul is saying that's his attitude about himself. He knows that he's nothing. An accurate view, Paul had an accurate view of himself, which led to him having humility. You will not be dedicated to God if you don't have humility. I'm afraid that we've allowed, because we're not like, because our society has run rampant, and it ends wicked, don't get me wrong, but because there's such a transition now, and that, and the darkness and the light, we're like, well, I'm not as bad as them. You'll never be dedicated to Christ if you don't have humility. And here's the thing, be humble, because you don't have anything to boast about. I don't care what you have grown, I don't care what you've changed, you may be a forerunner for what we should do as Christians, that's fine, but you don't have anything to boast about. Accept the reality about yourself. You were born in iniquity, but letter B, you begin as infants. And I mean spiritually. Well, even physically, but spiritually speaking, you begin as infants. Here's what I want you to understand. None of us got saved in you at all. We begin as babies as Christ, in Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 2, Paul points to the fact that we can be babies in Christ, spiritually speaking. He said, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babies in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, yet now are you able. So what he's saying here is, these people were babies in Christ. They shouldn't have been. But they still were. They begin at 1 Timothy 3, 6 says, not a novice. So what, why are you reading that? Here's why. I don't care who you are, the day you got saved, you begin as an infant. And you will never get to perfection till you get to heaven. Alright, okay, so you got that? And if you're saved, every one of you begin as an infant. I'm getting somewhere. And you, and we can back this up biblically, we're not going to go through it all right now, but you're not complete sanctified, complete sanctification. Okay, you got positional sanctification. You got saved when Jesus looked at you. You are saved on your way to heaven. There's progressive sanctification, which means as you live, you are to grow in Christ. But as we grow, we're not going to get to perfection until we get to heaven, or until Jesus comes back. Okay, you got that? So you're still alive. We're not in heaven yet, are we? So guess what that means? That means each and every one of us has some growing to do. Right? I mean, that's how my math works. And we all begin an infant, little baby, wee! And we're not going to reach a full adulthood until we get to heaven, which is biblical, complete sanctification. Then that means, it doesn't matter where you're at, you can never get all the way over here until you die. Which means you still got some growing to do. That's the reality about yourself. You are not where you need to be. Here's the problem. We have a lot of people who do this. I'm where I need to be spiritually. I'm not listening to anybody. I'm not going to do anything. And let me tell you how you know that. Do you have, I know you get tired of hearing this, but do you have contempt or compassion for people? Because when you get to the point where I'm where I need to be, you're going to start having pride. And that pride is going to be evident by not loving people. I'm afraid a lot of people are there. Reality, I'm afraid that we have forgotten that we have some improving to do. Once again, Paul didn't have that attitude. Paul, what did Paul say? Not until I've apprehended, but I follow after. I'm afraid that we have a lot of Christians who think they have apprehended. And the attitude shows. And your attitude shows. Your actions show. And why the altar's not full? So, we think we've already arrived. We think we don't need it. Why are we not changing anything in our lives? There's some of you probably don't even think there's anything to change. You don't even comprehend it. I need to change something in my life. Until you get to heaven, and it's heaven over here, you got something to repent of. And if you caught yourself not repenting of something in the last year, you're blind. You're blind. Reality, you are nothing without God. Let's make sure we act that way. If you think you're something without God, you will not be dedicated to God. Now, don't get me wrong. You might be dedicated to church. You might be dedicated to a set of rules, but you will not be dedicated to God. Want to be dedicated to God each and every day? Remember that you are nothing more than a sinner with no hope that desperately needed the love, grace, and mercy of Christ. And if you've received salvation by faith, that you are a work in progress until complete sanctification. And that perspective will create humility. And humility tends to create people who are dedicated. You know who the football players, basketball players, baseball players, you know the ones of them that are dedicated to their coach and do what the coach says? The one who are humble. You take a player who said, I ain't got to listen to the coach. I know what the coach is saying. I know what the coach is saying, but I'm not going to do that. You know what that is? That's pride. And that person, that player, isn't going to be dedicated to the team because they think they're going to win. They're not going to run the right play. They're not going to master the fundamentals. They're going to do it their way. And they're not going to be dedicated to Christ or to the coach. Same thing, spiritually speaking. If you think you know it all, you're not going to be dedicated to Christ because you're not humble. Humble people are dedicated. And that's really what it's about. Number one is, really, you can put humility. You want to be dedicated to Christ? Humility. And how do they get how you be humble? Accept the reality about yourselves. to be dedicated, accept the reality about yourself. Secondly, learn from the rebuke of others, okay? That's really, you know, the Bible really is a lot of people making mistakes, right? That's not recorded for us to shake our heads. That's for us to learn. Proverbs 19:25 says, smite a scorner and a simple will beware. Okay, so there's a principle that we should learn from the mistakes of others. That's what a wise person does, you know? And when the sonny here, you know, jumps off the building and breaks his leg, if I'm a wise person, I'm going to learn from that. And so, hey, he broke his leg. I'm not going to do that. Okay, we understand that. Same thing spiritually speaking. There's a lot of people in the Bible who are jumping off the roof, spiritually speaking, and have broken their leg. We need to learn from that. And there's one really good one, and that's in Corinth. Paul rebukes them, and then what he says, letter A here, and quit being a baby. Actually, I'm not going to Corinth, I'm going to Hebrews. You could go to Corinth, but I chose Hebrews. When some people say Paul, speculate that Paul wrote it, we're not sure. Hebrews 5:12. Then is the rebuke. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracle of God, and will become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So what is he saying there? He's saying these believers are immature. They're babies. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying is, quit being babies. If you're going to be dedicated to Christ, you're going to have to grow up. You're going to have to quit being babies. 1 Peter 2:2 said, a newborn baby desires the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The writer of Hebrews rebuke and that these believers are being babies. You ready? You need to be concerned about learning the Word of God. You need to be concerned about growing spiritually. 2 Peter 3:18. I got two or three verses I'm going to read. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be both glory both now and forever. Ephesians 4:15, rather speaking the truth in love, we ought to grow up in every way. Hebrews 6:1-2, therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, this right here is the biggest advocate for preaching to the Word of God. We want to learn the whole Word of God, not just salvation. And it says there, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying down the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God on the doctrine of baptism and laying on hand and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. See, once again, we're not just to get up every Sunday and preach John 3:16. Right there's why. We want to learn the whole Word of God. That's why I systematically go through books of the Bible. Well, not today, but that's why we went through James, 1 Peter, 1 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, because we are to not just lay down the same thing every week. We are to grow. We are to learn the Word of God in its entirety. You say, what are you trying to say? What I'm trying to say, if you're a Christian, you need to care about your spiritual growth. You say, why? Because growing Christians are dedicated Christians. You know the players that are dedicated to the team are the ones that are growing, improving. Same thing with God. The ones that are dedicated are the ones that are growing. And growing, I've already said it, but in case you didn't know, growing takes place when you get into the Word of God. Growing takes place when you get into the Word. That's why we have that out there. Learn it, love it, live it. That's it. Nothing else. It's not in some mystical experience like the charismatic teach us. Or not us, but teach. not in some special feeling or anything like that. It's by the word of God. That's how growth takes place. We've learned from Paul's rebuke to quit being a baby. Secondly, we learn from Jesus' rebuke, letter B, quit being blind. Hey, you want to grow? You want to be dedicated? Quit being blind. I've already hit on this. Quit being blind. You say, what do you mean? Matthew 23:16, Jesus says, woe to you, you blind guide, which say, whosoever swear by the temple, we'll stop there. Verse 24, Jesus said, ye blind guides. Jesus was preaching and it applied to them, yet they didn't see it due to their blindness. The same is true today, I'm afraid. When I read Romans 3:23, do you think about yourself? When I read, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, do you sit there and think about some lost person that needs to recognize that? Or do you think about yourself and how you are a sinner? I'm afraid, and I've said that phrase way too many times, I'm discouraged by the fact that when I preach on sin or spiritual growth, we don't think we're the ones that need it. I'm afraid we come in and when I or some other preacher says, you need to grow in the Lord, that's right. Whoever's not here needs to hear that. And you're right, they do. But so do you. Hey, somebody needs to repent of this sin. That's right. The world needs to repent. I think we're blind. We can make a list of 100 people and 100 organizations and everybody in D.C. who needs to repent today. Yeah, I'm afraid our name never gets on the list, does it, Brother Mark? I'm afraid that we are blind. Here's what I want you to do. You today need to grow spiritually. You today need to repent. Not anyone else, but you. And that's the obstacle that keeps us from revival. You need to repent. We're always ready to cast a stone, forgetting that we are not without sin. To be dedicated, we're going to have to be a clean vessel for Christ. And you're not going to be a clean vessel if you're fixing everyone else's problems. I got ahead of myself earlier, but that's why I said it. The average Christian conversation is, woe is them. But rarely, rarely do I hear, woe is me. You know, rather than do I hear one of you or even myself say, you know what, I'm struggling with this. I need to get that out of my life. When I hear, and we got these doors, and we talk about the whole world and how bad it is, and it rocked. That ain't gonna fix you. And by the way, the only person you can actually fix is you. You can't fix yourself, only Christ can. Quit being blind. If you want to be dedicated to Christ, quit being blind. Learn from the rebukes of others. Want to be dedicated? Quit being a baby. And quit being blind that you are a baby. Because in my opinion, there's none of us who are mature believers. If you want to challenge me on that, read the book of James. Do you rejoice in trials? Do you control your tongue? That's just two things that probably none of us do. We're not as mature as we think we are. To be dedicated to Christ, accept the reality about yourself. Number two, learn the rebukes of others. And then thirdly and finally, and we're doing pretty good on time, obey the rule from God. Now you say, what is the rule? I think Philippians 3:15-16 sums it up. And it's really the whole Bible. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be just minded. If in anything be ye otherwise minded, God shall reveal. Nevertheless, we are already obtained. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. You know what that's talking about? Being like Christ. Being like Christ. You know what the rule is? To be like Christ. The rule isn't to make a bunch of rules. That's what we do a lot of times, ain't it, Brother Howard? It ain't to make a bunch of rules. The rule from God is to be like Christ. Have that same mind as Christ had. By the way, you say, well, we can tie this in too. So what is that? How do you be like Christ? Love God with all your heart and love others as yourself. Isn't that what Christ did? Isn't that what Christ did when he's praying in the garden? He didn't care more about what God wanted than what he wanted. He cared more about us than he did himself. That's the rule. Now, how is that going to take place? Well, I will tell you, two things were done. Letter A, be cultivating. You know, cultivating is an agricultural term. It means to prepare the soil to plant. It means to break up the soil. Well, how do we cultivate our hearts? I've already said it, but I'm going to say it again. The Word of God. The Word of God. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow. And it is the discerner of thought and intent of the heart. You want to be like Christ? Get in the Word. Simple as that. If you want to be like Christ, you want to cultivate your heart, get in the Word. That's not said a lot these days. It's not practiced a lot. That's what we need. Get in the Word. That's it. Get in the Word. And live it. Get in the Word. And that's the problem a lot of times we have too, is we all like to be, what is it? We like to be experts. We have a lot of experts, I said before. We don't have many examples. And there's no good to be an expert in the Word of God if you're not going to show that to other people by living it. That is how you're going to live the Word. But here's the thing. To do that, it's going to take courage. That's letter B. Be courageous. Not going to be easy. Never. You know why? Because your flesh doesn't want to do it. Joshua 1:9 says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. Joshua had to be courageous to do what God wanted. You are going to have courage. It's not going to be easy not to do what everyone else is doing. You may get laughed at. You may get criticized. And by the way, that's not just being Christian. That's just people. You ever saw that before? If you don't do what everyone else thinks, you're going to get laughed at and criticized. If you're waiting for people to give you the okay to live for God, you won't. It's going to take courage. It's going to take courage. When we dedicate to Christ, obey the rule to be Christ-like. Let me ask you, how dedicated are you? I'm going to ask you, how dedicated are you to Christ? I didn't say how dedicated are you to church. I didn't say how dedicated you are to what you decided is what you're going to do and not do. I'm asking you, how dedicated are you to Christ? How much desire do you have to live out 1 Corinthians 16:13? Getting kind of where all this started, honestly, to my sermon here. Watch ye stand fast in the faith and quit you like men. Be strong. Basically what he's saying is, act like men, and that means be mature, be strong. I think one of the biggest problems in the churches are filled with Christians who are not men and women. The church is filled with a bunch of boys and girls. that are not, that are half dedicated to Christ. Don't let that be you. And Miss Brenda comes to play, and we stand on our feet with our heads bowed. Let me ask you, or let me say this. That is three things that I believe are fundamental in being dedicated to Christ. Let me ask you, how dedicated are you to Christ today? And she plays, and God has spoken to your heart. I want to challenge you. Hey, come to the altar. The altar's not just for unsaved people. The altar's not just for people who are living in sin and what we would say gross sin. The altar's for you and me.